Otto Warmbier has passed away. He spent a year and a half in North Korea. A lot of bad things happened, but at least we got him home to be with his parents, where they were so happy to see him, even though he was in very tough condition. It's a brutal regime, and we'll be able to handle it.
North Korea is maybe the number one dilemma in the world, meaning a terrible situation for which all the options are bad. And so when you hear President Trump say, we can handle it, we're going to handle it, it sounds pretty hollow.
Certainly is a very, very difficult situation the United States is in. President Clinton tried to solve it. President Bush tried to make progress. H.W. Bush tried to make progress. This has been an intractable challenge for the United States over the last 25 plus years. And it dropped right in the lap of President Trump 6 months into his administration, with the death now of Otto Warmbier, who was imprisoned in North Korea for about a year and a half until the North Koreans released him in a semi-awake state where he did not have an ability to speak, and he just passed away. It's a devastating loss. We have three more Americans who are being held captive in North Korea and are probably being held in similarly horrific conditions. Reports out of North Korea that the cells that these individuals are kept in are about 5 feet by 6 inches, 5 feet 6 inches, like a square, and routinely denied food, water, beatings. We won't probably ever really know what happened to him. Joining us now is Gordon Chang. He's a columnist, commentator, author, foreign policy expert on both China and North Korea. This was state-sanctioned murder indeed. Gordon, it's good to talk to you on a sad day, but this really is par for the course for the North Koreans. I don't know why people are all that shocked.
Yes, I mean, this reminds us of the horrific nature of the regime. And it's not a question just of missiles and nukes, although, of course, that is critical to the United States. It is the nature of the regime. You know, Ronald Reagan taught us that the nature of these regimes indeed matters. We try to treat North Korea as just another country. No, it's not. It's very, very different. And it's got an enabler that has weaponized North Korea to be used against us. So we've got to understand the situation that we are in.
Well, there's a piece, ironically, in the Wall Street Journal today. U.S. seeks an ally in Beijing. U.S. will press China to ramp up pressure on North Korea in a round of high-level talks on Wednesday, tomorrow, hoping for action on what Washington sees as a preeminent threat. The Trump administration is pursuing a strategy of leaning strenuously on Beijing to curtail North Korea's nuclear weapon and missile program, but provocations by Pyongyang have continued since Donald Trump and Xi Jinping met in Florida in April. My question to you, Gordon, is what, if anything meaningful, has China done to truly assist in the attempt to denuclearize North Korea?
Well, since the Mar-a-Lago meeting, there has been some reporting, especially in the Japanese newspapers, that the Chinese, who were rattled by President Trump's missile strike on Syria, have leaned on the North Koreans not to conduct their sixth nuclear test. I think that that might be true, but we've also seen that the North Koreans have launched missiles at an accelerated pace during this time. And so the point is the Chinese have not nearly done enough. We also know that the Chinese have said that they are not buying coal in order to comply with UN sanctions, but after that February 18th announcement by Beijing, in February and in May and in April and indeed in June, the Chinese have been buying North Korean coal, and in addition, they've been buying other minerals that have been banned by the UN Security Council. So we can say that the Chinese have been playing a duplicitous game. And it's probably time for President Trump to make a pivot of his own and to impose severe costs on the Chinese for supporting the North Korean regime.
He really seems loath to do that, which I think he mentioned was due to the fact that the situation has changed with North Korea, and the situation being so frighteningly perilous for the country, that we can't, you know, take on China as maybe he appeared to have wanted to during the campaign, that it's much more complex now. But I would agree with you. We have an enormous amount of leverage with the Chinese if only we seek to use it.
Absolutely. So, for instance, all we have to do is just to enforce U.S. law. We know that Chinese banks have been money laundering for the North Koreans. So under U.S. law, we can deny those Chinese institutions the right to transact in dollars in New York, and that would put them out of business. We know that a lot of North Korean entities have been supplying equipment for North Korea's ballistic missile program. They've also been probably supplying technology. We can go after the Chinese state for doing this, and this is just an act of political will on our part. The Chinese economy right now, a lot of people have disagreements, but I think that it's fragile. I think that we can have a lot of leverage. We have a lot of leverage over the Chinese at this point. It's just a matter of us deciding that it's time to use it.
What are the options right now with North Korea? I mean, they have three Americans in custody on trumped up bogus charges.
They have three Americans that we know of, and they may also have a fourth American who, because some people say that the North Koreans abducted an American out of China about a half decade ago. So we don't know the total number of Americans, but this certainly does inhibit our freedom of action. Nonetheless, though, I think that we have to consider Americans who travel not only to North Korea but to other regimes and their safety. So I think that essentially, while we should try to always free the Americans who are in custody, we should nonetheless not give the North Korean regime any bargaining chips. And what we need to do, well, for instance, we can take the travel advisory against travel to North Korea, turn it into a full ban. We can put North Korea back on the State Department's list of state sponsors of terrorism. And as I mentioned, we can start enforcing U.S. law. And by doing that, we would cut North Korea off from valuable sources of currency as well as technology. So there's a lot the United States can do if it has the political will to do so.
Well, and I think when Tillerson and Mattis host the Chinese state counselor, and General Feng Gui, the chief of joint staff of the People's Liberation Army at the State Department tomorrow, there has to be some tough talk. It can't just be this diplomatic, you know, backslapping and glad we're fostering better relationships. I mean, we need action on the part of the Chinese. And I think, remember Donald Trump during one of his campaign appearances when he did his big trade speech here in Washington, Gordon, he discussed very clearly, maybe he can even find the soundbite, he discussed very clearly tying trade to foreign policy, that trade is a weapon. I mean, it's one of our tools in our arsenal to defend America's interest. It just is. It always has been for our entire history of our country. Trade is a valuable tool.
Well, it certainly is, because the Chinese have an economy that is geared to selling things to the United States. Last year, we had about a $309 billion deficit in goods and services. The U.S., on the other hand, doesn't have an economy geared to selling things or buying things from China. So there's a mismatch here. Also, we have a much larger economy than China's. It's almost a $19 trillion economy. China's is almost $11 trillion, if you believe their numbers, and it's a Chinese economy is bleeding cash. There was $1.1 trillion of net capital outflow last year, in all probability. In 2015, the net capital outflow was $1 trillion, according to Bloomberg. China right now is ailing, and it needs our help. And, you know, in the past, Laura, we have always tried to be cooperative with the Chinese, to extend the hand of friendship, to give them concessions beforehand in the hope that they would reciprocate. Well, that policy didn't work during the Bush administration with regard to North Korea, didn't work in the Obama administration either. I hope that it works in the Trump team, but that's pretty unlikely. And so I think what we're going to have to do is impose those costs, because when we do that, we give the Chinese an incentive for the first time in decades to actually help us on North Korea.
Now we're talking to Gordon Chang here on the Laura Ingraham Show. Gordon, before I let you go, there was a conversation a couple of days ago, some analysts, forgive me for not remembering who they are, the people I didn't know, and they were discussing how important it was for Donald Trump to resist his, quote, America first impulses, because if he does not, the rest of the world will look to China for lessons and not to the United States, because China will become the dominant power in the world, and China will be that beacon for the rest of the world as well. But I would say my response to that was, I mean, we've been losing ground and influence for 15 years at least. I mean, it's not Donald Trump just came in 6 months ago. The idea that he's responsible for people looking to other models rather than looking at the capitalist model in the United States, I mean, that to me, that's just short-sighted.
Yes, the world did not become instantly dangerous at noon on January 20th of this year. It took a lot of misguided policy, not only in the Obama administration, but in the Bush administration as well. The real fundamental problem is, and whatever one thinks of America first, the fundamental problem with American policy is that we have not been willing to use instruments of American power in order to obtain objectives, not only for the United States, but for the international community. So, for instance, as we're talking about China, we've allowed China to do things which are completely unacceptable. And we've also allowed the Russians to do so as well. And so countries around the world look at us and say, no, the United States is no longer powerful, because although it's potentially powerful, it's not using its instruments of national power.
Gordon Chang, thank you for your insights. This very dangerous time as the administration and its critics are spending so much energy on this Russia investigation, and meanwhile these major foreign policy challenges looming on the horizon. Gordon Chang here on the Laura Ingraham Show. We'll take a break, get to all your calls, 855-40-LAURA. We're going to hear from a reporter on the ground in Georgia in hour three, so you want to tune in for that. Give us the latest from that race. Judge Andrew Napolitano is going to stop by, and a lot more coming up.
The Laura Ingraham Show.